This programming sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters. Information about their flexible premium life insurance plans available at relevantradio.com/forester.
The following is a Relevant Radio program and is protected under U.S. copyright laws. This program is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Support Relevant Radio by clicking on the donate icon at relevantradio.com.
Talk radio for Catholic life to start your day.
Morning Air.
On Relevant Radio. With Glenn Leverins, here's your host, John Harper.
Good morning. 5 minutes after the hour, it's First Friday, March 2nd, 2018. Coming up in this hour of Morning Air, a focus on young people, how the church reaches out to young people in the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis, and beyond. Archbishop Bernard Hebda joins us in this hour. Of course, you've also heard much about the National School Walkout that is slated to happen later on this month. How to turn that into a more positive and Catholic event. Sister Brittany Harrison on how her school is going to do it and perhaps how your schools can do it as well. Plus, if you have a challenge getting your kids to pray, Jeannie Ewing joins us in the next 15 minutes with some simple steps where you can not only teach your kids, but motivate them to pray, where you don't even have to motivate them. They just do it themselves. We'll give you those solutions coming up today on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And as we begin this Friday morning, we begin in prayer and invite you to join us for the morning offering in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, we offer you our prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day for all the intentions of your Sacred Heart, in union with the holy sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world, for the salvation of souls, the reparation of sins, the reunion of all Christians, and in particular for the intentions of the Holy Father this month. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You hear us use the term holiness. You've used the word holiness. You hear it mentioned all the time. Told you this story. This goes back a few years ago, spending time with my spiritual director, and I was saying it, and this is a statement of fact. I said, Glenn Leverance and Drew Mariani, and there's Sheila Lagminas, and there's Wendy Weiss and Patrick Madrid, all these people, these great holy people. What am I doing there? I mean, these are holy people. I'm not that holy. And he says, whoa, time out. Makes the tea, the time out that you also give to your kids. And he said, wait a minute. So let's define holiness. So he walked me through that, and he said, holiness is really goodness. That made me stop and think. Holiness is really goodness. And then we went into what goodness is, and really the difference between being good and being nice. We know a lot of nice people, but are they really good people? Niceness, holiness, it's a topic worth exploring. We'll do that right now. Father Mark Mathias, parochial vicar of Our Lady of the Blessed Sacrament, Bayside, Queens, in the Diocese of Brooklyn, New York, a member of our morning family here on Relevant Radio. Good morning, Father Mark.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Glenn.
You're a late vocation. Before you became a priest, in the lay world, did you think of yourself as holy?
Wow. No. And I still don't think of myself as holy. And I'll tell you why. Because it's a process. And I think, that if we're really reading and studying our Bible, we will find something, that we need to improve on in order to, to be qualified as truly being holy. So often we think, well, the saints were holy, and so they never sinned once they finally achieved holiness. No, chances are, they backslid or somewhere along the way stumbled with one of our Lord's teachings. But thank God we have the sacrament of reconciliation, that we can go have the slate totally wiped clean, and have a fresh beginning with our Lord. And at that moment, believe it or not, you are perfectly holy because you have no mortal sin on your soul. And so it is possible to achieve holiness despite probably our initial reaction, of holiness. Forget it. I'll never be holy. Why even try? It is possible, and our Lord has given us everything we need to become holy. And so I'm definitely holier than I was, say, 10 years ago and, say, 20 years ago, but I'm still not ready for sainthood, although I'm still trying hard to get there.
just as food, that nourishment helps your body work more efficiently and helps you get stronger. You spend some time in the gym to get stronger as well. The graces that come out of the confessional help you get stronger for that holiness. And then also to try, and I know there's Proverbs 24, the just man falls seven times a day, to try to not fall seven times a day, but maybe turn that into 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and to use those graces to get stronger and, quote, holier?
That's the process. When you think about it, you know, the way we're led into unholiness is where the devil divides and conquers. You know, we start out, you know, being pretty good people, innocent little kids, and slowly we get corrupted by, you know, venturing away from our Lord's teachings. And so the devil doesn't do it all at once. He does it slowly, one area of our life, you know, at a time. And then we say, well, you know, I wasn't struck dead by a bolt of lightning, and, you know, I still feel like I'm a good person. So, how, you know, maybe if I only obey 80% of God's teachings, that'll be good enough, you know, to get into heaven. You know, and then, of course, that slips down to maybe, well, 60%, if I just follow 60%. Let's face it, you know, sinning can be fun, right? Or at least that's the illusion the devil gives us until we realize the consequences of our sin. But it's so easy to slowly drift away from our Lord's teachings, and that's the tactic of the devil, to divide and conquer. So we can use the same tactic against the evil one when it comes to our holiness. Pick one thing in your life that you know should not be in your life and work on that to eliminate it. And when you really analyze it, and I think this is one thing that we all have to fight against, is complacency, because most people say, you know, I'm a nice person. Yeah, I don't always go to Mass, and, I haven't always forgiven everyone for what they've done for me, but I'm a nice person. Well, I remind you that Jesus doesn't call us to just niceness. He calls us to holiness. And when you really start to study the Gospels, and you see how serious Jesus is about sin, and what he considers to be a sin, for example, chapter 5 of Matthew's gospel, where Jesus says, whoever says, you fool, shall be liable to hell fire. Okay? He's saying, if you call your brother, neighbor, friend, stranger a fool, you will be liable to go to hell. Okay? Because it's uncharitable, and you're attacking the, you know, the image and likeness of God in that other person. And that seems like, wow, it's a little extreme, don't you think, Jesus? But no, he's trying to eliminate every aspect, every nuance of negative behavior that is in us. So again, we don't leave a wake of destruction and hard feelings and shame and guilt in our path.
Father, non-believers can be nice people. Christians can be quite cranky. But is it really most important that we look at the motives for our behavior?
Do you mean, cranky Catholic?
Hey, good example, Glenn. When we really break down, you know, why we respond to people and situations, you know, there is psychology involved. There could be a lot going on in our lives, but we have to be aware of that we don't have a license to take our frustrations out or difficulties of life out on other people. And, you know, when we think about it, we say, you know, well, holiness just seems like a really good idea, a charming idea, but, you know, it's not really possible. We're human. And that's the first thing, you know, that people will use that excuse, you know. Especially, I've even heard priests preach on this, you know, where Jesus tells the adulterous woman to go and sin no more, and that, you know, we must be perfectly holy just as our Father in heaven is holy. You know, and then they'll say, well, let's face it, none of us are ever going to be perfect, you know, but we need to keep trying. No, it is possible to be perfect. In fact, we're all wired for holiness. And I'll give you an example. You know, what if, John, you and I were to meet, right, for the first time, we're getting to know each other, and we like each other, and I say to you, you know, John, I like you. I'd like to be your friend. I'll tell you what, though. How about, going forward, if I'm only, say, honest with you 80% of the time, would you like to be my friend? Or I'll tell you what, if you're going to be my friend, I'm only going to cheat you 10% of the time. And if you want to be my friend, I'm only going to verbally or physically disrespect you 5% of the time. Would you be my friend?
Wow.
No, you would say, I expect you to be honest with me 100% of the time. I expect you never to verbally or physically disrespect me ever. We expect holiness from other people. We do. And yet, when it comes to ourselves, we make an exception, right? Think about it. Our souls are wired for holiness, and we know that because we expect others to be holy, and we know that when we're unholy, you know, it bothers our conscience, or at least I hope it bothers our conscience.
Right.
And so we are wired for holiness. We just have to recognize it and then work toward it.
One more question. We must be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect, Matthew 5:48. Where culture meets Catholicism, our culture really shames us into, if we're not perfect, then we're not a total human being. Well, talk about perfection when it comes to our faith and the slippery slope of being scrupulous in achieving that perfection. What does perfection mean?
Spiritual perfection is holiness. And so we may not be, according to the society's standards, you know, physically
right.
perfect or, you know.
But there's that pressure for being perfect. And that pressure for being perfect can be scrupulosity. And I've suffered from that a couple of times in my life where you're working so hard that you really wind up opening the door to Satan.
Oh, I see what you're saying, Vin. You know, scrupulosity is not a bad thing because it shows that we are trying. You know, to,
yeah.
But then it can also lead to self-righteousness where we're judging others if they're not being. We can also become, I think, a little too hard on ourselves,
right.
That, you know, people feel unworthy, that they're not, you know, worthy of God's love or his forgiveness. That's something that really surprises me when people come to the confessional where they just don't feel like God could ever forgive them, which is not true. There's no sin too great where God's grace and forgiveness is not greater as long as we come to him with a sincere and repentant heart. And so it's good in one sense to be scrupulous, you know, as long as, you know, we are not then taking our scrupulosity and making it, you know, self-defeating, you know, that, again, we're not worthy of God's love and that, you know, there's nothing we can do to please God. Nothing could be further from the truth. And that God also recognizes that, you know, holiness can be a process of time where we learn from our mistakes. And as long as we see ourselves making progress, you know, week after week, month after month, year after year, eventually, you know, he'll help us complete the process. Even if we wind up in purgatory, as long as he sees us trying, you know, he'll help us in the end.
Father, as we talk about being nice and holy, but talk a little bit about kindness as really a fabulous tool for evangelization.
No, and let's face it, you know, preach the gospel, use words if necessary, is what St. Francis said, right? And that, without a doubt, we all know our actions speak volumes, you know, as to what's going on inside of us, and that's words and actions. And so we can walk around preaching and quoting, you know, the Bible, you know, line for line. But if people don't see it reflected in our charity, in our forgiveness, in our love, in our acceptance, then it doesn't matter, you know, what they're hearing, you know, on their ears. What they're experiencing in their heart will not draw them to Christ or to Christianity. And let's face it, it's easy to read the gospel, right? You can, you know, it's a quick read. You can read through, you know, the four gospels in a matter of, you know, hours. It's a lot harder to apply it to our lives. And when I really started getting serious, you know, about my Catholic faith and about what it meant to be holy, I realized you can read through a paragraph of Scripture and really, you know, go right past what our Lord's trying to teach us. You need to take every line of Scripture and reflect on it and to say, am I doing what our Lord has just commanded me to do here? You know, just like I said, you know, when our Lord warns us to call no one a fool. I mean, that one line, it's like how many times am I behind the wheel of my car, especially, you know, in New York, and someone cuts me off or someone goes speeding in and out of traffic, you know, and the first words out of my mouth are not a blessing sometimes, you know. I'm throwing out the F word, and I mean fool, all right, not the other word you might be thinking of, but it's so easy to insult, you know, that stranger, right? You fool, what are you doing? And according to our Lord, you know, I could be liable for hell fire. Of my uncharitableness. That's something we need to take seriously.
Yeah, and also on social media, to think twice before you hit that return button. You think you're doing something really snarky and cute up on Facebook, and you're really just tearing down another human being. What an awesome way to start this first Friday of March with the spiritual direction on the difference between what niceness is and true holiness. Father Mark Mathias, parochial vicar of Our Lady of the Blessed Sacrament, Bayside, Queens, in the Diocese of Brooklyn, New York. Thank you, Father Mark.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Glenn. Have a blessed weekend.
Time now is 18 minutes after the hour, teaching your kids how to pray. We've got some simple steps with Jeannie Ewing in 60 seconds on this Friday morning on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.